Welcome to NoSpinHomilies.com. I invite you to join me to reflect upon the homilies of Father Dan. Father Dan will challenge us to open our heart, mind, and soul to the Word of God. Father Dan will draw upon sacred scripture, along with art, literature, and the lives of the saints, to help us grow in our love and knowledge of the scripture. In doing so, we can become the living Word of God in this world. Now it is my pleasure to present to you No Spin Homilies.
The gospel for this weekend is probably one of the more difficult scripture passages for us to understand. It comes from Luke's gospel, chapter 14, verses 25 through 33. Here, Jesus says, and I quote, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, upon hearing this, it is difficult for us to understand it. In fact, even maybe disturbing. Throughout all of sacred scripture, whether it's the Old Testament or New Testament, God is constantly proclaiming, professing his love for us in the world. I'll give you some examples. John 3:16, "God so loved the world that he sent his only son so that those who would believe in him would be saved." Or Jesus gives us the commandments, the two greatest commandments: love God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love one another as yourself. Before Jesus mounts the cross, he says, "There is no greater love than to lay down your life for another." And he does just that out of love for us in the world. Therefore, this doesn't make sense for Jesus to make this bold proclamation to his apostles. And yet, I think what we have to do is read to the very end of the gospel passage for this weekend. Jesus says, "In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple." There is the key that locks the mystery of understanding the gospel passage for this weekend. Now, we have to appreciate the context in which this gospel is set in. Jesus right now is making his way to Jerusalem. He knows that in Jerusalem is his destiny. Now, on this way, he's teaching his apostles about discipleship. In fact, the entire chapter 14 is devoted to just that. In that chapter 14, Jesus gives parable after parable after parable, describing the requirements that God has for discipleship and following his son, Jesus Christ. First is the parable of the conduct of the invited guest. The next is the parable of the great feast. And finally, we get to the gospel passage that we hear for this weekend. Now, what do all these messages have in common? Total dedication. Total dedication that is necessary for discipleship in Christ. We must have no attachments in this world. None of them should stand in between or before our relationship or our faith in Christ. Nothing should interfere with our relationship or our discipleship to Christ. Nothing, whether it's possessions, titles, promotions, work, even relationships. Nothing should interfere or stand in the way of our commitment to following Christ. Because what? What happens if we do have an attachment to whatever it is? Well, after a while, that attachment will win out, and we will no longer be devoted or committed to Christ. Now, with that in mind, go back to the gospel and read it again. Jesus said, "If anyone comes to me without hating his father and mother, wife, children, brothers and sisters, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Now, the Greek word that Jesus used for hate, and remember, the Bible was originally written in Greek, is messene. Messene actually means attitude. It means nothing about emotion. The point is, what Jesus is getting at is he doesn't tell us how we should feel towards our parents, But instead, he's telling us what type of attitude we must take when it comes to choosing between the kingdom of God and all the other things in this world. It's about attitude. I'll give you some examples to help you understand this better. Jesus had Mary as his mother and Joseph as his stepfather. Now, did he hate them? No, not at all. In fact, he loved them, and he loved them very much. And yet, he did not allow his relationship with them to interfere with his mission in this world. I'll give you another example. Jesus and the relationship or the friendship that he had with his apostles. For 3 years, Jesus ate, drank, traveled, he worked, he taught his apostles. They grew in a great friendship with each other. And yet, Jesus would not allow that friendship to interfere or stand in the way with his mission, culminating on the cross. And see, it should be also for us. Nothing in this world, including relationships, should stand or interfere in our way with being and living out discipleship in Jesus Christ. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we should all leave here today and divorce our spouse and leave our children and live as hermits alone. No, not at all. Instead, the foundation of our lives should be rooted in discipleship in Christ. And from that foundation of discipleship blossoms all the other things in our life. Blossoms marriage and children. Blossoms our career, our job, our occupation. Blossoms family and relationships. Now take it a step further. We, out of love for one another, must always help each other to grow in our faith and commitment to Jesus Christ. That obligation stems from our baptism. There's very few things that we hold in common with one another, but the one common thing that is woven between all of us is our baptism. At the time of our baptism, we became sisters and brothers in Jesus Christ. And therefore, through our baptism, we have a duty and a responsibility for one another. Basically, we are on for each other. We must help everyone to make sure that they grow in their commitment and their dedication to be a living disciple of Jesus Christ in this world. Now, go back into the gospel and notice these two parables that Jesus gives. They're back to back to one another, which means we have some sort of heightened awareness, a significance to them. Jesus says, "Which one of you, wishing to construct a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, 'This one began to build, but did not have the resources to finish.'" What really is the meaning here? Well, essentially, it's the calculation of the cost that is suited to the message. The real meaning behind this parable is don't start something if there is not a willingness to expend all that you have, including your own life. And see, this is at the very heart of stewardship. This is what I've been proclaiming now for many, many months. Stewardship, and Jesus is now teaching us this. At the very heart of discipleship is stewardship, recognizing that we must give away the gifts that God has given us in the name of discipleship. The next parable, Jesus says, "Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king, advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? But if not, while there is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms." What's the meaning of this parable? Well, here, the message is very clear. We must calculate the chances of success. We must know exactly what we need to do to be a successful or a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Now notice, these parables run back to back with each other. It's for a specific purpose. Jesus is telling us that both these parables concentrate on the seriousness of discipleship and the ability to have fidelity to Christ until completion, in this case, until the very end of our life. Now, notice the fate of these two persons in the parable. The fate is those who are not able to see through what they first began. One is a ruined builder. The second is a conquered king. Well, this is a warning. This is a clear warning that Jesus is giving each and every one of us. A warning to all that begin their lives with an allegiance to Jesus Christ and then allow that allegiance or commitment to Christ to deteriorate and then eventually become inactive. We see that in our own day and age. Surveys have come out recently about Catholics just here in the United States, in which 2/3 to 3/4 of all Catholics do not practice their faith. They don't go to Mass on a regular basis. It's even worse in Europe. There's now articles being written about every Sunday the churches, the Catholic churches in Europe, are empty. In fact, there was a priest in the Vatican who wrote an article recently, and he was predicting that if the tide does not change in Europe, that all of Europe will convert to Islam. Now, what we have to do is heed this warning. This is a powerful warning for us all. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Catholicism is a generation away from extinction. How? Well, if parents don't teach their children the faith, or they don't teach them how to practice the faith, then when the children grow up, they won't know the faith at all, nor will they know how to practice it. Then it will become extinct. I've seen it in so many families, so often. What we have to do is heed this warning. Take it very seriously. The gospel for this weekend is serious and very timely. Jesus is talking about discipleship and what God requires of us to truly be authentic and genuine followers of Jesus Christ, His Son. What is required of us? Total dedication. Total dedication so that nothing at all interferes with our faith and our mission as a disciple of Christ. Should we hate our mother and father, brothers and sisters, our own life? No, not at all. Instead, we should love all people, especially our family, our mothers and our fathers. They deserve our love. But at the same time, we must heed the words of Christ, in which He says, "Any one of you who does not renounce all of his possessions cannot be my disciple." Therefore, nothing in our life, whatever it is, should interfere with our mission as a disciple of Jesus Christ. And may the peace and the grace of Jesus Christ rest upon you always.